You will hear Chris King right now as we try and peel back the onion and see what's going on with his team. Christopher, how are you, my friend? Everything okay?
Yeah, everything's okay, Jay, but we got a lot to peel, don't we?
I'm telling you. You know, I guess it's sour grapes, but listen, I've been saying it since the get-go. You know, you put a team on the road 13 weeks. I guess you have to. The arena wasn't. I mean, you could finger point and say, well, what happened here? What's going on with the arena? Could you have played some games at the Coliseum? I mean, could you have alleviated 13 straight on the road? Nonetheless, you know, it is what it is. You know, 5-6-2, came back with 12 points. The anticipation, here come the Calgary Flames in a loss 5-2, getting shut out the next night to the Maple Leafs 3-0. So, was it the road woes? I mean, what did you see at the start of this, you know, tedious trip, Chris? Did you see something differently? Was there a little bit of a malaise going on here? What did you see from the ops?
Yeah, I don't really think it was that bad, Jay. You know, I think, you know, when you go out on a trip that's that long, 13 games, the goal is to kind of come home at 500, right? And they were actually at 1.52-2, so they had a chance to make it a terrific trip, but they dropped the last four, and it still came down to the last game. It came down to the last game in Florida at 5-5-2 to see is it going to be a winning or losing trip, and they dropped that last game, and they come home 5-6-2, and that's respectable. As you said, you know, when you're playing 13 straight on the road, 5 weeks of games before you ever get to play one at home, that's okay. So, you know, I think 5-6-2 they were very happy with. That's a game under NHL 500, if you want to call it that. But then to come home and to have this COVID crisis hit them and then the injury bug both at the same time, you know, that's just more than they could handle. I mean, you're looking at a situation right now, Jay, where they have two players out injured, seven on the COVID list. That's nine players. You dress 18 skaters for a game. So that's half your skaters out injured and half of the Bridgeport Islanders of the American Hockey League who are up now playing in the National Hockey League. And, you know, that's tough for any team to try to compete on a night-to-night basis against a full NHL squad in Calgary, a full NHL squad in Toronto, and a half of an NHL squad in the New York Islanders. And it's just not going to get better anytime soon right now. You know, we've learned that none of those players, none of the seven on the COVID list will be eligible to come back tonight. None of the two on the injured list are coming back tonight. So they're down at least nine guys. And that's until we get today's report to see if, you know, anyone else has gone on that COVID protocol list. So it's tough right now. It's absolutely tough. And like you said, you know, we're talking about peeling the onion between, you know, the losing streak, which has reached six, the injuries, which is, you know, two huge guys out injured in Brock Nelson and Ryan Pulock, and seven more on the COVID list. Boy, that's a mountain to overcome.
Power play numbers, the killing of the penalties. The latest guy is Brock Nelson. How long do they expect Nelson out, Chris?
Yeah, he's 2 to 4 weeks, so I guess that's the good news. And again, he's your leading goal scorer. He's your leading point guy. He's got seven goals in his last seven games. He'd been their best player this year. So, you know, to lose him offensively is a big blow. And you can argue Ryan Pulock is your best defensive defenseman. You know, certainly your best all-around defenseman, I would say, on the blue line, the combination of offense and defense. So, you know, right there, those two guys, you know, Nelson's out 2 to 4 weeks, Pulock's 4 to 6 weeks. You hope that the COVID guys can come back sooner. The only glimmer of hope is that Lou Lamoriello, the GM and president, said yesterday that Josh Bailey could return this weekend. So I assume he's meeting Sunday at Madison Square Garden when they play the Rangers again. And Bailey's the one, you know, who got that COVID while he was down in Florida and has stayed down in Florida ever since just to keep him away from everybody else. So he literally has been down there in Florida ever since he was, you know, the first to go on the COVID list.
Yeah. Excuse me. Cizikas, Casey, how's he doing? Is he back in full now?
Yeah, he's been fine. He's been good. You know, he's still doing his usual thing, that fourth line center between Matt Martin and Cal Clutterbuck. So, you know, that's been one bright spot is that, you know, he's been okay. And that line, you know, is really the only line that stayed intact. When I look at the other three lines that they ran out there, you know, Sunday night against Toronto, it's honestly, Jay, it's, you know, it's half of the Bridgeport club that's up from the American Hockey League because they have no choice just to, you know, just to field an NHL team. They have to fill in with guys from the minor leagues, and that's what they did. So that's really the one thing you can look at is say, all right, at least that veteran line of Cizikas, Martin, and Clutterbuck, they call them the identity line. You know, they provide the physical play. They really get the team going. They have been intact. But outside of that line, Every other line is completely foreign. Those players to each other, you know, they have never played with each other for the most part. And the same thing with the D combinations. It's, you know, a mix of veterans here from Bridgeport and youngsters, you know, getting their first chance to play in the National Hockey League. So if you have to try to find a bright spot, you know, we have seen some of the prospects that we've heard so much about finally get a chance to play in the National Hockey League. But certainly you didn't want it to happen under these circumstances.
Yeah. We're talking with Chris King, the voice of the Isles. They got the Rangers tonight. You know, I look at a guy like Matt Martin, Chris, who is such a spark to this team, the identity line. Clutterbuck, Heese, Zegers. I'm noticing just in some of the numbers, and again, he's coming off the ankle and everything else. Maybe he's going a little more gingerly in trying to get, you know, full capacity of the ankle. But what have you seen from the line? This is a line that has given so much spark, we know, in the playoffs and everything else the last couple of seasons. Martin's come off a little slow to me. Do you notice anything in that regard or no?
Well, you mentioned the ankle injury, right? And that's a thing. Certainly, you know, he didn't start the season. He, you know, missed the first couple of games because he had ankle surgery in the offseason, and they didn't want to rush him back. So, I mean, I think he would tell you, you know, it's tough to just jump into the regular season when essentially, you know, you didn't play any exhibition games whatsoever. So the first couple of regular season games he played this year really were his exhibition slate. And, you know, most teams play five or six exhibition games a year, and that's what the Islanders played this year. So I think it's taken him a while to get up to speed. Obviously, he hasn't scored. Casey Cizikas hasn't scored either. Cal Clutterbuck's got a couple of goals. So you never really count on those guys, you know, tremendously for goal support. You count on them for that physical play, and in particular, in the case of Casey and Cal, the penalty kill that they do such a great job on. But, you know, I think you're right. I think you could say, you know, it's taken him a little longer to come around, Matt Martin, than anybody else because of the fact he was coming off that surgery in the offseason. So, you know, they need to pick up the scoring too, though, Jay, because no one is scoring right now. In the last seven games, they've scored eight goals total. So you can't average, you know, one goal a game and win in the National Hockey League unless your goaltender is perfect and pitches a shutout.
You know, speaking of the league and the Isles right now, 12 points trail Carolina, which has been a little bit of a surprise. I mean, Carolina's like off the charts here.
Yes.
I think 14-2 on the season. I mean, they got 29 points. You know what I'm noticing here? I mean, everybody, Chris, and they're gonna, then the good thing about the Isles, they got some intra-division games now. You know, they got the Rangers twice, Pittsburgh in between. But you look at these teams, and it seems like they've all gotten better. I mean, look at the Hurricanes, as mentioned. I mean, even the Devils are three games over 500, you know? It just seems like everybody has gotten off to a good start. The Rangers, who they'll play twice over the next three games, they are 11-4 with 25 points, third in the division. You know, you just look at these teams, and they have improved. And what makes this thing even tough with this start is they've got so much ground to make up, the Isles do, and they're going to have to battle some pretty good rosters in trying to claw back in here.
Yeah, it's a great point, Jay. And you know what it is? It's the Metropolitan Division. That's what it is, because there was a point where the Islanders had a winning record on that road trip, and yet they were in last place. So basically what that meant was all eight teams in the Metro Division had a winning record, and that was the only division in the NHL. It was even close to that. So Barry Trotz mentioned it at one point. He said, look, we're over NHL 500 here. We're sitting at 5-4-2 with, you know, two games to go in the trip, but yet they were in last place looking up at seven teams. So, yeah, you know, Carolina got off to that incredible start, but you're right. All these teams above them, you know, have had great seasons. Everybody's got a winning record. The Islanders now the only team in the division with a losing record. The only thing you can point to is obviously because the Islanders, you know, had that spaced out road trip, they do have games in hand on every single team that they're chasing in the division right now. And again, they have the majority of those games at their brand new arena. When you play 13 straight on the road, when you come back home, they're now playing 15 of the next 21 at UBS Arena, their brand new facility, which is just incredible. But you've got to find a way, you know, to take advantage of that home ice advantage. This is what you've waited for. But, you know, Barry Trotz said, look, it's not just going to come automatically. We've got to make this place, you know, as intimidating to play as Nassau Coliseum was. And the fans have been great the first two games, Jay. They've been terrific. You know, the energy, the noise that they hoped would be the same as the Coliseum has been, if not louder, because you got so many more people in there now. So the building has been tremendous, but just to try to rev it up now without nine guys in your lineup on a nightly basis, it's a tough combination. So, you know, all this time thinking, just wait till we get home, and now suddenly you're down half your roster the first time you get home. You got to find a way to win it on home ice, and maybe the Rangers are the perfect tonic, right? They always seem to bring out the best in the Islanders. The Islanders won 6 of the 8 last year against the Rangers, and we know what kind of atmosphere is going to be in the building tonight, and we know what it's going to be like Sunday at Madison Square Garden. So maybe this is exactly what the doctor ordered for the Islanders right now.
There's no doubt. And Rangers now a formidable team, new head coach in Gerard Gallant. The goaltender has been pretty good, Georgiev. And speaking of that, Semyon didn't start the season. Varlamov, he's okay now, though, right? I mean, Sorokin did pretty well to start the year. You know, a couple of hiccups here and there, but he got his stride. How does Semyon look being in the Nets now, Griff?
Yeah, he's been okay, and you mentioned Sorokin. That's another bright spot. You could argue he's been their best player to start the year. Jay had to play the first 9 straight games. He hadn't even come close to that in his career, and he pitched 3 shutouts in there. So he, you know, was the rock that kind of held him through the first 9 games. And I really think, you know, once Semyon Varlamov was able to come back, now you can get that balance in the goaltending. And this could be the secret weapon tonight for the New York Islanders, because Semyon Varlamov last year, Jay, had 4 shutouts against the Rangers, including all 3 games that he played at Madison Square Garden. So the Rangers didn't score a single goal against him the 3 times they faced him at MSG, and he also shut him out once at the Coliseum. So, Varlamov was their best player in the Ranger-Islander games, and you know he's going to go tonight the way Barry Trotz likes to, set his goaltender rotation. He bases it on, past experience, and Sorokin did not fare as well last year against the Rangers, and Varlamov absolutely owned them. So the hope is that Varley can do his thing tonight. You got a couple more call-ups up from Bridgeport, and they can find a way to cobble this together. It's always an incredibly festive atmosphere. This is a traditional great night at home for the Islanders. The night before Thanksgiving, so many people home for maybe the only time all year, especially college students and that type of crowd. It's always been a great night at home for the Islanders. They've always tried to schedule a home game on the night before Thanksgiving. And let's hope all that coming together with the brand new arena, which we haven't really touched on, Jay, but is just absolutely spectacular and everything as advertised. Hopefully that combination of Varley and goal and the energy of a holiday crowd can get the Islanders their first win in their new home.
I can't wait to get there. It looks great. The 2 additions. Before we let you go, Chris, Zeno Chara, this guy could play until he's 55. And he's 44 now. But, 6'9", 250, Chara has lost his stride from the old days, it seems, when he started with the Isles. Give me a quick comment on him. And listen, just his presence. I saw him go toe-to-toe with Pat Maroon last week. And it really did well. But, he and then you got a guy by the name of Zach Parise, who played with the Devils, and certainly Lou knows him well, Amarillo. Figured he'd bring him in as far as maybe a little extra scoring there. Do you see these 2 guys as major contributors this season?
I hope so, Jay, but right now, no. First of all, Zdeno Chara just went on the COVID list, so he's out tonight, so that's tough. But, you know what you're getting with him. You said that. 6'9", 250 pounds, you can't teach that. He's the tallest player in NHL history, and he's got the Islander background. They drafted him. He played his first 4 years in the NHL with the Islanders, and just a good defensive presence. I think he struggled a little bit early on to find his groove, obviously playing with, new partners, a new system, that type of thing. But I thought actually Sunday was the best game I've seen him play. The loss to the Maple Leafs, I thought he was terrific. He was using that long reach, that incredible strength that he has, the ridiculous man strength. And like you said, at 44, it's amazing he's still out there getting it done. And Zach Parise, certainly has been counted on to score. He hasn't done that yet, so he's got to be feeling the pressure. We're 15 games in, he doesn't have a goal yet, but, he just had kind of found his stride playing on the line, with J.G. Pageau and the youngster Oliver Wahlstrom on the other side, and then boom, suddenly the COVID thing hits and everything's thrown into the blender, and he hasn't had steady line mates since. So I think, once he gets that first one, it'll be a huge relief for him. Maybe that comes tonight. But, he's got the history where his father was a hero for the early Islanders in the 1970s. J.P. Parise scored one of the biggest goals in franchise history to knock out the Rangers in the first playoff series ever. For the Islanders, they beat the Rangers in the deciding game at Madison Square Garden 11 seconds into overtime. So that was J.P. Parise, and now, we're hoping his son Zach can bring some of that magic to the club as well.
We'll see. And they'll be on the Eastern Seaboard, folks, I think until the 4th of January. That's when they go to Seattle.
Yep.
So that's going to help. The one thing I noticed during the schedule that kind of bothered me, I get 13 in the road and everything else, but the gaps between games and a couple of points there, Chris. I couldn't figure that out. 5, 6 days here and there. I mean, how do you ever get your stride? And especially when the Isles were winning a couple of those games. You know, you had to wait 5 or 6. I couldn't figure out. I'm still kind of baffled by that, you know?
You're right, Jay, and you know what? You hit the nail on the head, because Barry Trotz said the one thing we couldn't find in those 13 games was rhythm. Because as you said, they had here's how the trip ended. I'll give it to you exactly. They had one game in 10 nights, a one-game stretch in 10 nights. Then they played 3 in the next 4, and then they went back to 3 games in the final 12 nights. So that's, like you said, you just can't find any type of rhythm when you're playing once in 10 nights, then cram 3 games into 4. And then over the last dozen nights, they only played 3 games. So, you know, the NHL wanted to give them breaks, time at home, and I get that. So it wasn't like it was 5 weeks out on the road nonstop. They had a 5-day break, a 4-day break, and 3 3-day breaks. So it almost was, you know, you don't want to say it was too much time off, but in particular, that stretch of one game in 10 days, it was a Nashville game in the middle of a 10-day stretch, and they only played once. So Barry Trotz said the rhythm was just never there. They couldn't find any rhythm because either they were playing every night or they weren't playing at all. And at least now, that also has gone away. Now that the schedule is back home, it's kind of, you know, the normal NHL every other night is really that rhythm that they can get into now, and that's the way the schedule lays out. Almost as you said, Jay, until they, you know, the new year when they're going out to Seattle and Western Canada, they really don't go anywhere. They don't have a road trip of longer than one game. One game is the longest road trip they have for the rest of the calendar year until they go to Seattle for the first time in early 2022 in January, and then they'll back that up with 3 games in Western Canada. But they're not going anywhere other than a one-off. You know, until calendar year 2022. And that's a good thing to get them in that rhythm of just playing every other night, which is kind of standard NHL.
I think it's in Detroit, too. So, I think they'll definitely – listen, the Isles are going to somehow roll off 6 or 7, 8 in a row eventually and get themselves into this mix. You know what's going to happen. We'll keep an eye on things. And as always, we will be listening to you, my friend, Chris King. The best in the business with a call tonight against the rival Rangers. And let's see if they could turn it around here on this holiday weekend. Always a pleasure to have you. We'll look forward to the next time, my friend.
Always great talking hockey with you, Jay. Thanks for having me.